Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
So after meeting Kaka, I had several thoughts. And after my dinner with Kakao, and then after my Cocker Spaniel meeting, I did not know what to think about Cockerel and Cuckoo.
Cockerel.
And Kaka Cuckoo. Y'all, Jesse is like Maddie and can't come up with someone's name.
I enjoyed it. It didn't bother me, but I kept watching this and I'll go, Cuckoo, Cuckoo, where's my seal?
Cuckoo, where's my seal? Columbia? You wanna go to Columbia and get some coffee? Maybe have some white power.
They go crazy because of the white powder.
White power.
Powder.
Oh,
not
boy.
White power. That's a different. Yeah. That's Columbia, South Carolina.
That is Columbia, South Carolina. Y'all, this is Single Life. Single Life. I don't know the episode. It's season 2, episode 7, but I don't know what the title is.
It's called You Give Love a Bad Name.
You give love
you a give bad love name.
Shout through the
oh,
heart.
Hopefully
and
y'all
do blame.
Oh, Lord.
All right. We're remote,
hopefully,
but goat.
This goes well, y'all, because we're remote, but goat. Poodle's in South Carolina. It's, I hate to tell you, Poodle, but your screen's very pixelated now. You look like 1987 porn.
Turn off
so
our video.
Hopefully everyone can hear this. You know what I think it is? I think it's all the antlers in the background that are interfering with the signal.
Here, I'm turning off my video. How do I do this?
No, we can't. We are. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
turn
yeah,
off the
yeah,
video.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, we're going to do it without the video. Look at us. Maybe this will be a little bit better. Okay, y'all. So, Poodle's in South Carolina. Get thoughts and prayers for Poodle because Mother Poodle's coming in hot, I'm sure.
She's been in rare form. Yeah, it's been a couple of days.
Y'all, we're doing this show on Christmas Eve. This is Christmas Eve, so I'm sure this is the pinnacle of anxiety for her.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, and there was just, I walked up the stairs, and I just hear, it's like her version of the Tasmanian devil. And the thing is, she's only bringing the salad to my brothers tonight. It's just going to be me and my two parents and my brother and his kids because I've not allowed anybody else there because of COVID. And everyone's vaxxed. But she's just still – and my brother's making everything, and she's making the salad, but she's still – it is her anxiety is at an 11. And it's something. Let's just say that.
Well, I enjoy that we're about to start the podcast. And Poodle said, I hope you can't hear the gunshots.
There's someone hunting behind us. Because I live in a very rural, my parents live in a very rural area. Right. And occasionally I just hear rifle shots. So I'm just trying to decide if I want to duck or I don't know. So hopefully no stray bullets come through the window.
Let's hope so. Before we start, Poodle, I just want to say I have an early Christmas gift for you that I think you will enjoy.
Okay. I bet it better be expensive.
Well, it is. Not for you, but for me. Because, y'all, I was typing the other day, and I went to set down my computer because, one of my Christmas ornaments just wasn't hanging just right, and I just wanted to adjust it on the tree.
Fastidious queen.
And put it right, because it was touching one of my bubble lights, so I had to get everything situated.
Those are fire hazards.
So I set my computer down quickly. Oh, they're not. And so I set the computer down, and then I came back, and my computer screen was just black with a couple of lines in it. So I'm working now from my old computer that doesn't have any of my programs, but whatever. Well, so I take it to the Apple store this morning on Christmas Eve, and the guy says, oh, something impacted it. And I went, huh? And he said, yeah, something hit your computer. And I went, what? I said, I didn't hit anything. I didn't set it down. He's like, well, did you set it down kind of quickly? I said, maybe. And he's like, well, sometimes that can cause damage, but it's clear something hit your computer. And then he looked at me and said, you might want to get a case.
Oh, after all that, after I've been called clumsy and someone has mandated there's a case for my computer. Boy, this is a Christmas gift for me.
You're welcome. I'm giving that to you.
With your big money from Of Mice and Men hands.
It's true. So now I just spent $100. Thank God I have AppleCare to get my screen fixed. And I'll get it in 10 days. So here's to hoping.
Wait, so you just put down your computer a little roughly and it fucking broke?
I guess it hit something. I put it on a lap desk and it kind of slid down. But nothing... I don't know of anything that hit it, but it like totally, this last computer I bought it's been a fucking lemon.
I've dropped mine anyway. Like 7 times. Nothing's happened. Maybe it's because I have a case on it.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Anyway,
I'm glad I had that idea.
It's a lemon. Mm-hmm. See, you're welcome. That's the only Christmas gift you're getting from me.
Righteous anger. I like
yes,
it.
Let's do this.
Let's talk about this is Single Life episode 7. You Give Love a Bad Name.
7. I think next week is the finale.
What? Really?
There's usually only 8 episodes of Single Life, right? Isn't there 8 or is there 10? Oh, maybe there's 10.
I think there's 10.
You know what? I don't know. I'm wrong. I'm going to step back. You know what? I'm going to get more of an education. I'm going to investigate this a little bit more before I put an opinion about it.
There you go. Smart.
There you go. So, let's go ahead, Poodle. You start.
So, y'all remember we don't cover Big Pred, but let's just start out with Jesse and Yennefer in this fake romance that we are desperately trying to make real and make us care about. And it really is, the more I think about this whole story, it does feel like, you know, when you watch those kind of sitcom pilots that would come on in the half hour after some show like Friends, and it would always be like Dave's Journey. It's like now premiering after Friends. And it would always be a premise that you didn't really care about, but you'd watch it because what else is there to watch? This is before streaming.
You're dead on. That's exactly what this show is. Yeah, they were called like Dave's Journey, or it was like, just like Mom Raising Kids. Like the worst titles ever.
Carol's Second Act, which I think that actually was a Patricia Heaton vehicle, but boy, that's definitely one of those 30-minute fillers.
Yeah.
And they all mm-hmm. say, and the, all their tentative titles are always, until something better comes along, here you go. Because they were almost exactly. always canceled mid-season. But that's what this relationship is like.
Yes. Yes.
No
yes,
one
yes.
cares. No one cares about any of these characters. Even the premise is old. What is kind of cringe is watching these somewhat robotic people try to access what they think are feelings. And that's the cringiest aspect of it all.
It is pretty cringe. I know. Give me more cacao.
I know. No, cacao, caca. Cuckoo Magoo.
Y'all, he knows what he's doing on his Instagram. It's worth watching. Cock ring. Worth following. Cock ring. Did you hear, by the way, this is sorry, y'all. We're on a little bit of a delay, so we're kind of talking over a little bit, so bear with us. But did you see that? This is a little bit of news, but did you see that Georgie is now on OnlyFans?
I did see that. Have you, has anyone checked it out yet? I'm sure he won't show penis.
You know, I want to be honest. In the sake of research for our fans, I signed up for a month because I wanted to see what this guy's showing.
So
you know what?
What's
nothing? It's just like swimsuit photos. So right now, y'all, there's no Georgie cock. I've already unsubscribed, so I won't get billed again next month. And then we'll see what's going to happen down the line. But I think this is a nail in the coffin that Darcy would never allow Georgie to be on OnlyFans. She would freak out.
I agree with you there. Yeah.
You're done.
That's kind of sad. But let's be honest. Did we really think this was ever going to work?
No. And it's kind of like when you see The Flash, getting back to this, when you see, you know, they're boxing and all this stuff. But when you see Jesse talk about, like, the whole point of this is, y'all, they're boxing and basically, you know, Jennifer saying, you have all my attention now. And Jesse says, you know, I just cannot be with someone who is lying. You know, I don't need it. Lying causes dysfunction. And then they do cut back to some of him and Darcy's fight. And we love Darcy. She is our queen. But you always forget, oh, yeah, Darcy's crazy.
She is. And also she loves the drama of the fighting. You liar. You never loved me. She loves all of that.
She loves it.
And he basically says, you know, I'm just really concerned that 2 months ago you were dating. And so you were just kind of like explored it. And Jennifer's sitting there like almost, y'all, I do this so I know what this is. She's just kind of making posy faces at him like, and she is the personification of coyness because she loves it that he's actually slightly jealous, and anyone else would have had when their ex-boyfriend, or even if they dated a little bit, anyone else when they brought Kakwa to the table would have said, you know what, Kakwa, you're not going to be here because I have a new relationship. This is all about her creation of attention for herself.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. She's being coqueto, as they say.
She's being the coqueto. Yes, I'm or coqueta for the coqueta, feminine version,
which is Jake's drag name when he is in South America.
Coqueta Gonzalez at your service. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I'm saying she's loving it. She's loving him having this conversation. She's loving him worrying about whether she's going to get back with him. She's just he can't see it because he's not a human being. He's only thinking about Instagram.
He's not a human being, and she's someone that wants someone to fight for her. She wants that kind of attention. So, yeah. But
she says,
anyway, y'all, they're eating some ant. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Poodle.
Ant ass. Yeah. Now, this is when this show became Fear Factor. All of a sudden, And this is another thing, you guys. This is another test that she wants, almost macho test that she wants Jesse to pass. Because I guarantee you, Tim could have never done Tim, y'all. Tim could have never eaten an ant ass. I'm pretty sure. Because it's not easy.
I don't
being cheesy.
It's not. I don't think he could have.
Hold my vape pen. No, he couldn't have. He would not have eaten an ant. And she would have pouted and gotten angry.
She would have pouted and gotten angry. And I was really upset at myself, honestly, because when Jesse's talking about eating ass, I got turned on.
Oh, he is the least sexual human being for me. I can't even see him in that way. I just thought it was so pandering. That's how he read a book on how do people make jokes about sexual things. So this is when I make joke about being ass, eating ass. Like, that's what it felt like.
It was a little hot to me, but maybe that's because people have called my ass a Lubies or First Cafeteria before. So maybe I'm a whore.
First Cafeteria? What the hell is that?
A Furs Cafeteria. You never been to a Furs?
No, I've never been to a Furs.
Oh, I love a good Furs. I think they're all closed now.
Is that a Midwestern chain?
Maybe. I mean, we have Luby's too, but there was Furs for a while. It was kind of like, it wasn't like Ryan's. It was more like a total Luby's, like with a buffet. But you know, I went to a Luby's with my dad when we were in Houston, and I was so excited. He wanted to go, and I was so excited to go to a Luby's because I hadn't been to one in 20 years. And then I remembered there's a reason why I haven't been to one in 20 years.
I thought they were all Luby's closed.
Well, they did close after that shooting in Texas. There was like a shooting, killed a bunch of people, but that didn't help them. Sorry, y'all. Southern story.
Anyway, maybe you like Luby. You liked Luby's because it had the word lube in it.
Maybe, but Jesse does say to her, she's like, "Do you like these ants?" He's like, "I love that, baby." And then he does say, "I love eating your ass."
Again, it doesn't feel sexy to me. It feels like kind of like how we talk, and you say four jokes, and the two before it were mildly funny, and the third one was awful, and the fourth one just kind of hurts my soul. That's what all of Jesse's jokes are like.
That was a read, and it's Christmas Eve, and I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. But maybe.
So
maybe
they're having dinner with her mother, because why not? Why not? We've done everything in a week.
Leonardi.
Why not have dinner with her mother? We still think that she's the same age as us.
Okay. She is, because we forget, Poodle, Yennefer is 25 years old. Like, my nephew is 20. I have a nephew that's 23.
And Jesse's 31, something like that.
No, but yes, Jennifer's mother, I think, is probably 42 years old.
Stop!
Because she had her young, so I just wanted, yeah.
She looks great.
She does. She does.
And so I noticed this when they were in the car. Like Darcy, Jennifer always has something to drink, whether it's a smoothie or a juice. And you know how Darcy would always have a coffee with a straw? She's always got something.
Yeah, because they want that guy to think about their dick being in their mouth. It's all. I would thought that's like rule number four of like Poodle's notebook of what you're. I feel like you're always putting something in your mouth, just looking at a guy going.
It's why I always carry around a pickle. I'm always sitting there with a pickle.
Poodle's like, got a pickle jar, y'all. He just carries it around.
People's like, "What's that? You just had a meal. Just me eating my pickle. Just me, like, seductively licking my pickle." Y'all, Mother Poodle's wrapping presents. And at the phrase, "licking my pickle," she did look up.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. We better get going before Poodle gets kicked out of the house.
What are you talking on that podcast about?
So mom basically is giving, they're sitting down to eat, and mom is basically, she's going to give the third degree. And so she's, because she's basically already said to the camera, she said, long distance relationships really don't work. So he's got to show who he is. And I love that they're sitting down and eating. And then the mom says, you know, we do this in the South where we'll just say, we'll be having a meal. And then like my Aunt Darla will say, all right, can we just gossip a little bit? Do they do that in your family?
Not necessarily my immediate family. My aunts and uncles will, though. And my mother will be like, oh, here we go. And then everyone else will lean in. So, yeah. But they do that in their family. More that my when my mother does gossip, she's like, I saw so-and-so in the grocery store the other day. And it usually has some angle about, oh, she looked terrible. And it's something about how either she was, it all goes back to a couple things. Either she was right about something, or this person used to date my father. She looked awful. She's just big as the side of a barn.
Oh, wow.
My mother holds a special hatred for all the women my father dated before her. Even though she's been married to him for
50 years.
Yes, 48 years. Yeah. As I was reminded the other day.
That means that she's telling you and your brother, you better start planning this. You need to start planning her anniversary like in 6 months.
No, I'll send him somewhere to a secluded cabin. So just drop him off like naked and afraid and see if they can find their way back.
You know what? Your mom
it's
could.
Your
dad probably would die, but your mom would make it.
She would. She's motivated that way. Just drop them off from a helicopter. It's a wilderness vacation.
Wilderness. Now, Leonardi, she starts asking things like, when did y'all start seeing each other? And I mean, basically it's nothing really big that comes out at first. She's like, when did you see each other? What's going to happen when you leave and she stays? And Jesse's like, I work remote. Not a big deal.
But can I just point out the fact that her mother, there are two ways to see this. That her mother already knows about Jesse and already knows a lot about him because they've been, quote unquote, talking for 2 years. Or...
Mm-hmm.
And that we're recreating it for the cameras, which is possible. Or Jennifer has never brought him up at all. And this is all a fucking sham. That's kind of where I am. And there was another gunshot. I don't know if anybody can hear it. Sorry.
I didn't hear it. Okay. I think Jennifer... Wow.
It's like I'm on the Gaza Strip.
Wow. Okay. Too soon. I think Jennifer's mother. Wow. I think Jennifer's mother is on a need to know basis. And I think that Jennifer probably was like a wild child. And probably, I bet you they go around and around.
Yeah. I guess. It seems weird that this man is meeting her daughter. Or for the first time, and then he, in the same breath, says, I'm in love with your daughter. And the mother just goes,
it's totally weird.
And Jennifer sits there again and goes, There's nothing. There's not even I'm embarrassed that I can't say it back to him. And her answer is, well, you know, it's going to take a while I don't know what these feelings that I have are. I have to figure out my feelings. What is this feeling? Oh, right. I don't have them because I'm not really. It's not that she's not an actual human being. It's that she has suppressed all vulnerability for some type of Instagram fame. Or she's never tried to know what's actually in there. That's the other option.
Possibly. All right, let's wrap them
know.
Up before I fall asleep talking about them.
I have a slight morbid curiosity because from a psychiatric perspective, it's almost interesting watching these two people try to form what they think is a relationship, and it's not.
No, that is my favorite. My favorite parts about 90 Day Fiancé is either you're going to get people like Debbie or who did we have? Who else? Or like Sinjin, who are real people on real journeys. And so it's that kind of voyeuristic anthropology aspect of psychology. Or you get the cuckoo magoos, and you're going to see how do people literally with kind of with these kind of psychoses, or I don't know, nothing's diagnosed here, but we do have a background, but how do they adapt to this? So yes, that is interesting. And you bring up that's a great segue, because we see kind of the dysfunction of Jesse is that Jesse in front of Yennefer's mother says, well, here's the deal. I'm in love with your daughter and I'm the happiest man alive. And mom goes, okay.
Yeah.
What? Because even she's like, what is happening? It's love bombing.
Yeah. This is not a symptom of a good relationship. And we all kind of know in the back of our mind, this isn't really a relationship. This is like some type of deal that was struck via email that they would do. Yes. And they have convinced themselves there's actual feelings here. Almost in a very elaborate delusion. I really do believe both of them believe it in a way.
I think this relationship could actually go the distance because it becomes very much because it becomes like a relationship of convenience and a relationship of almost kind of like an agreement. Like, I can see them wanting to help each other's careers and things like that. I mean, they already have their calendar, y'all. You can buy your Jesse and Yennefer calendar for sale.
No, it's just, it's so interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we could talk about, I agree with you that they have some longevity because they would not have the normal emotional issues to deal with because there's nothing at stake.
Yeah. It would fall apart when Jesse wanted to be with someone else because Jennifer would freak out.
Yeah, it would be bad. Unlike someone like Debbie, because Debbie, y'all, just wants someone to love.
Dumb barbecue sauce. All right, everybody, we're going to take a commercial break. If you're listening, for when this comes out on the free feed, we're going to take a commercial break. If you're on the Patreon, we're just going to keep going.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cool.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Oh, Mom, I think we got stood up. Can we go kill somebody now, please?
Pee-wee, what are we going to do with your bloodlust? I thought when we killed that drifter last week, it was going to be enough.
It was, Mom.
for a day.
Oh, Pee-wee, what am I going to do with you? You're cute, though.
Y'all, Mother Debbie got stood up, and I was emotionally invested and upset for her.
I was, too. But I'm even more excited about what I saw in the preview for next week when they do some, her and her friend Aubrey do some digging and they turn into armchair detectives. And I would watch this show with Debbie and Aubrey.
Okay. I'm going to say something and I'm scared because you said this already. And so you're thinking it and I'm going to say what I thought. The problem is y'all, Jake and I, we manifest things. Like Mother Debbie's only on the single life because we said it. And yep. There's been other things. I can't remember.
We also
them all now,
manifested.
But, I'm telling
Jason
you.
Jason dying. Actually, that was COVID, not
we
us.
We did. That was COVID. You think you do all the work? Miss COVID does some stuff too when you ain't looking. But
sometimes
anyway,
Miss COVID does good work.
I sometimes she kind of does. I wrote, "Holy shit, what's wrong with me?" I would watch The Family Colty.
Oh, me too. I would actually if Colt wasn't on it because he's still it, there. I still think it may be that Colt does not know how to act on the show because when Colt is on the tell-alls, you kind of see a little bit more of a normal personality. But on the show, I think he's trying so hard to make a story out of it. But maybe just Vanessa.
Possibly.
Maybe just Vanessa, Debbie, and her friend Aubrey. That I would watch.
Maybe, but see, because I like Vanessa. And so seeing Vanessa, like, with trying to interact with Colt is like, I don't know. It's really enjoyable. By the way, y'all, so there's a place being torn down across the street from me. And so now there's some squatters in there. They've been trying to kick them out. But I don't know how, but they got a hold of a moped. So if you hear a really loud moped in a little bit, that's because they're driving by, and I apologize.
The squatters have a moped?
In Los Angeles.
We got to get you out of that.
I don't know how they got it. But they good for them, I guess. They have something to get to. So anyway, let's talk about Debbie. Let's jump into this.
She's getting they're looking at another apartment, and her second date with Jay is tonight. And Debbie's like, I want to go out ziplining. I want to go ziplining. I want to go all kinds of stuff. Line dancing, do a line maybe.
Y'all, Debbie's lived a life. She's done a lot of drugs, and I respect her for it, honestly. She came through it. Poodle, we don't live in Las Vegas. We live in Los Angeles. So Las Vegas, sissies, I don't know what it's called. What is it called if you're a Vegasian? I don't know what it's called. I don't know what people
a vegan?
Las Vegas are called. But A vegan, which
Vegas
just then
sissies.
Looks like vegan, which is great too.
Vegas sissies. Let's
say
that.
Come at us if you're a Vegas sissies and ask us, what can you rent in Las Vegas with a budget of $500 less a month?
What the fuck? Like, rents still $500 a month?
I mean, you can get a shithole in like Oklahoma for $500 a month. So I think you probably can't get anything in Las Vegas for probably like $1,000 a month.
And well, she said this place was $750, y'all. And it was in a sketch neighborhood. And the real estate agent, she's like, hi, this looks like a new floor. Come on in. I do know someone.
My name's Christy. I'm wearing an actual cape. I'm wearing an actual cape
is.
In a hovel in a bug infested. But you know what? I'm a realtor and I'm going to be on TV and my name's Christy and I'm going to get a sale.
Y'all, did you see how Christy's eyes kept darting around the room like she was afraid there was a spray of bullets were going to come at any time? Yeah. It was not good.
There was a taser or a handgun in that cape. I know there was. I know there was.
It was.
She was ready.
Did you notice the doors, the chairs propped up under doors?
Yes. And just like the outside was an overturned grocery cart, but then just like a sad child's toy turnover, oh, as if some little girl was out playing in the yard and her mom, Lorinda, came out and said, Tammy Jean, it's time to go. Let's go right now, Tammy Jean. Let's go. And she said, okay, mama. She just popped off that tricycle and left.
We got to get away from your grandfather. Lorinda's got a story. I will say there are very few things creepier to me than old turned over children's toys that you can tell have not been played with in a while.
Agreed.
There's just something about them for me that it also is infinitely sad and also feels like disrepair. Or who did said this place is despair? Is it Mama Bill Cosby? This place is in despair.
Yeah, it's in despair.
Despairowero Buddha. But yeah, this place was in despair. This neighborhood. And y'all, I liked it when they're like, oh, what are those pieces of plywood? Well, the windows were boarded up because we had a really bad squatter problem. This again, real estate agent's like,
boy,
I'm going to make
real
a
nice
sale.
That moped just drove by.
This real estate agent's like, I'm going to make a sale if my life depends on it. If I have to take a bullet in my arm.
Yo, if you're in Las Vegas, you need to fucking use Christy because she's going to work for you.
I just like it. And you can tell she did not want to be there.
Like, this is never. No, not at all. But she kind of also then said at the end, she's like, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go in my locked car and just wait. You let me know what you think. But she says to the camera, she says, there's nothing in her budget. That she wants. There's nothing in her budget. And then, so Colt and Debbie kind of have this conversation, but I thought they were going to have an actual, I was confused, Poodle. Is Colt, I forgot, are they moving? They are moving. He wants to move into a new house and start again, right?
He wants to move out. And he told her he's moving out. My solution, because I think he has a well-paying job in IT for gaming, I think it's still... And I think this is probably what's going to happen. I just think this is a plot point of the show that we're having to rehash, even though we know it's not really important. I'm sure he's just going to pay because she's probably fixed income with retirement. But I'm certain he's going to wind up paying for her a place to stay. Come on.
Yeah, he'll either pay for his place to stay or they'll get like a guest house behind. But I really think they want their own. So I feel like she'll be on it. I think he's going to take care of her. Of his mom, because I don't think Debbie...
He's not going to kick his mom out of the house.
She worked a lot like... No, because she worked a lot like, as Debbie said, waiting tables and bartending, which are great, hardworking jobs, but they also don't... It's not like she's getting a pension or anything.
No. She probably doesn't have a ton of retirement.
And this is another thing that I actually love about her storyline, which is so... This is what I learned a lot about this. Just working in running, I specialized a lot in like aging queer adults and stuff. But there's a lot of people you don't think about. There are a lot of Americans. I can only speak to Americans, but that are kind of in Debbie's situation where they don't really have a lot of retirement, and Social Security is kind of it. And housing has gone so sky high in this country, a lot of them get displaced and have nowhere to go. And if they don't have kids, like if Poodle and I don't get our shit together, why do you think Poodle's there visiting the nephews and nieces? Hopefully one of them will take care of his
Exactly. That's my plan. No, I told
one of my nephews, I said, one of you has me.
I told the oldest one, I said, guess what? I don't know if one of you's, I said, I'm not going to have any kids. Cause they asked me one time when I would have, I'm like, I'm not going to have any kids. And one kind of, they kind of looked at me and were confused. And I said, "No, you guys are plenty for me." And then they thought, then thought it was great. But I told my oldest nephew, I said, "Someone's getting me in the will." When I said, you know, I said when my parents are dead, I'm going to spend time with y'all. And my niece say, "Don't say that." I'm like, "It's going to happen."
It's going to happen. And then they're going to die. And your niece is going to spend all this time taking care of you. And in her will, she's going to get a 1979 bottle of gin that's been half drunk and a used butt plug. And $10.
A vintage butt plug.
Okay, sure.
You can sell it on eBay.
Sure. Yes. God bless them. So let's talk about her day. Her and Colt talk well, but nothing happens.
But I just want to say you're right about it. Is kind of it, the way a culture treats its elders is very representative.
Oh.
And we don't in this country. We've had a bad history of that. And think about like we're doing Pedro really? And Chantal right now on our class list. And how her family could not understand why they'd even send money back. And well, why should his family live in a 3-bedroom apartment and you live in this? And just this idea of, so what about the parents? So what about elders? And Pedro says, "That's just the way it is in my country. You give your mom, I'm the only man in my family. I'm going to send them money." And it's just not like that in this country. And also, even in Asian countries, there's so much reverence for grandparents and things like that. We just don't have that. It's a shame.
No, we don't. It is a shame.
Not that I won't put a little drool on my father's chin at one point and says, "Yeah, you're going to Salty Towers."
Salty Towers. But that's what's so gut-wrenching to me about, and just like you said, Debbie is the heart of this show, y'all, because her and Colt have a talk to kind of not decide anything. So Debbie then is getting ready for this second date with Jerry or what it, Red Nose.
Jay,
the Red Nose loser. And so a lot of people, y'all went crazy. Former resident of Toad Hall. Y'all went crazy on what his secret is. A lot of you think that he, what was some good ones? Somebody said that obviously that he was, I think, and this could be some, a lot of people thought he was still married.
That is a good one.
That is a good one.
I think he mentioned he'd been, some people said they thought he was a virgin, and I think that he'd either been incarcerated before or has some type of big history from his past of being of some kind of a crime, or maybe just a financial crime or something like that. That's what I was thinking. That's why they could see it. They could see the records of it.
I could see that. I can see that. So I know. I think that you're right. So Debbie's getting ready for y'all. Debbie comes down. She looks great. The blouse is a little too young for me, but at the same time, she pulls it off, and her shorts and her legs look great. I love.
It's her shoes. It's a little black velvet for me. The blouse is a little black velvet for me.
I love the little shorts. The shorts, with the legs. Cute. Like I love that part. It was great. Her makeup looked fantastic.
Her legs look great.
Her hair looks great. So she's sitting down there with Vanessa and Colt getting ready for her date. And 30 minutes later, we're just sitting there, y'all.
Oh. And apparently she hadn't.
Is there a phone ringing in the background? Is there a phone announcing yes, someone? Yes. Is it saying yes, Jerry yes, calling?
Call from. My parents have this really loud.
Wow.
And it's just someone's going to be in the next room. Like my father said, "Why did you get that? What am I doing?"
God.
I got yelled at from like, "Why don't you answer that?" I'm like, "Why should I answer a call that's like a telemarketer call?"
We got to get you out of there. We got to get you out of there.
Y'all, I swear to God, if for some reason I come down with with Omicron, I'm going to a hotel. I can't stay here. No. I just can't stay here.
Don't tell your mother you have Omicron. Just say you're leaving. Let her and take your rental car. And instead of the airport, just drive to Charleston and get you a nice bread and breakfast.
No, I'm going to be out in the middle of nowhere because no one can be near me.
I guess that's true.
All right. Oh, God, my father's coming back in. Hopefully he doesn't come in here and bother me. Because I did not get to tell him I was doing a podcast.
Well, we'll see, friend.
So anyway.
I mean, basically, y'all,
even
the thing
though
is,
I have, I'm.
Oh, God.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I just said, oh, God, he's going to come in. I was going to say, y'all, Jay, he stands her up. I love it that Debbie just calls and leaves a message and says, where the fuck are you? We had a date.
Yeah. Where the fuck are you? We had a date. Can we kill it now?
Hangs up the phone.
Can we kill it now?
And then, I don't know if they should have said this, but then Vanessa.
Can we get your shoes on?
Get you.
Okay, Mom, let's go.
Vanessa, like, I get it, you're being truthful, but then at the same time, she says, oh, yeah, he didn't just go to voicemail. He actually totally silenced your call. Salt in the wound.
I'm like, stop, Vanessa.
And
she's like, yeah, he just ignored you. What are you going to do?
And she's like, well, it hurts.
And then Debbie says, I've been fucked, but not in a good
and
way.
And I went, wow, I say that. And so it's just sad. It's sad because we've all been stood up before. It's happened to the best of us and to the worst of us.
True. I'm in the Debbie camp of telling someone to fuck off if they're going to stand me up.
Oh,
I don't, there's usually a good reason and they only get one chance.
Well, and nowadays y'all, it's not like we live in fucking, Sarah Plain and Tall where you have to like send a telegram or have Lassie. Like people can just say like, even y'all, if someone can't tell you what's up in a text, then that really means, like Vanessa said, this guy's a piece of shit. And I want to say this, y'all, that if someone stands you up on a date, that type of person, you have been given a gift because that is just a spineless person,
yeah,
who is either a horrible person or they're going through some shit that you don't want to deal with right now, and you were given a gift.
They've told you how they feel.
Yes. Move on.
Agree. Can we talk about something even sadder than Debbie getting stood up?
Yes.
Oh, y'all, I'll be honest. Stephanie's this season for Stephanie for me is really almost unwatchable. And it's not that it's either that I think it's two things. Number one, I think it is pretty fake.
Yes.
Number two, it is cringeworthy to watch.
It's kind of desperate television. It's desperate television to me of her.
Isn't it?
Desperateness to be seen, to be validated. And like, that's what this is about, y'all. It's not about her losing her chastity. It's like she is, I actually feel empathy for her because I don't think she's like,
celibacy, not chastity.
Oh, celibacy. Sorry. Yeah. She's not an unlikable person to me, but I think this hit me watching this. What I've always not liked about Stephanie is that she's exhausting because she's always saying, look at me, someone see me, someone see me, someone see me.
But at the same time, she's a YouTube person who people see her all the time. And it just tells you guys, no matter what you think someone's life is like, who, like, you follow a YouTube person or a celebrity, you don't know what they're feeling inside.
No.
They could have millions and millions of subscribers, and you're not going to know the absolute, like, how lonely they are inside.
Oh, for sure.
And all of it is just a front.
Yeah.
And that's the saddest thing about Stephanie. So, y'all, she's got a shark coochie board. And
her friend Heather's over there.
It's been a few weeks, we hear, since... Yeah, but it's been a few weeks since Steph ghosted her. And I guess we're supposed to feel some kind of loss about Steph, you know, the same Stephanie, the girl who did her hair, and they took a bath together. And then they ate ice cream cones in the bed, and she decided she needed to go home for work. And apparently the idea of trying to get her to cuddle eating Nutty Buddies on the bed turned Steph off, and she never heard from her again.
Well, I don't blame her. And also, y'all, I said it, Steph fucked herself, because now she's got to find another hairstylist because her hair looks great. Hope it does next time.
True. True. Oh. So, y'all, what other way to lose your celibacy than to have a barbecue and invite all of your friends? None of these looked like her friends who we knew before, who also were influencers. I guarantee you Heather's an influencer as well.
Probably.
And everyone looked like an extra from it would be like a Soul Asylum video. Everyone was, it was, yes. Like, no, even maybe even later than that, like, what's like a 2006 2007 band?
Oh god. I don't know.
Smash Mouth,
maybe
Or maybe like 311,
Fallout Boy,
something like that. Everyone,
were they around then?
No, they're actually still around. You didn't know, but yeah, they were around then. Yeah, but they're still around. Like, they're still doing stuff. But I just want to say, was this a costume party of dress like this time? I think it might have been, but it wasn't brought up. So she's wearing a choker, which everyone looks like it's very Hot Topic. And I assume that the guy, Fred, she's basically said, and Fred is coming to Heather. And later on, this is, I'll talk about the party later, but Heather said, she's telling to Heather, and Heather is basically saying, you're inviting Fred. Oh my God. Now I have to have exposition about who Fred is. That's the guy who you almost, he was your first blowjob.
Well, it was her ex-boyfriend from high school. Like, so it's somebody that she knows. It's her ex-boyfriend, but yes, it was her first blowjob, her first kiss, and the first penis that she ever touched. And she said, I'll never forget it. And do we ever forget the first penis we ever touched?
You know, that's a really good question. It does feel like when you do touch your first one, that Sarah McLachlan, in the arms of the angel, does play.
It does play. It's true.
Wow, I've ruined that song for everyone. Wow. That, by the way, y'all, if you don't know that song, you know that song's about? It's about drugs.
Yeah.
It's about someone being addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I haven't ruined that song for you now, then by talking about penises, I've ruined it now by talking about heroin.
Well, isn't it from that movie where Nicolas Cage, where he plays an angel?
No. No. That's, No. That's that Goo Goo Dolls song.
Oh.
No.
I thought
and now
that
I'm
was
doubting
that...
myself. Who knows? You're not a good authority on these things.
I thought that was, doesn't he, that movie that he plays, what's that movie, Nicolas Cage.
It's with him and Meg Ryan.
City of Angels, yes.
I don't think it's in there.
I never saw that. That looked bad.
No, the Goo Goo Dolls song Iris is from City of Angels. And I don't want the world to see me. And I don't think that they'd understand. It's a great song.
Wow. That's a really, I'm looking up, this is a really good soundtrack. This is like, that's where Uninvited, Alanis Morissette is on that.
Yes, I remember that.
Feel in Love. And I'm right, Sarah McLachlan, Angel.
Really? You are, I'm impressed.
Wow, look at that.
But the Goo Goo Dolls song's on there, right?
Iris is on there. U2's If God Will Send You His Angel. Send in all you angel.
It was just every song had to have angel in it.
Angel, yeah. I kind of want to buy this soundtrack now.
Let's move on.
Let's move
anyway.
On.
She also says they tried to have sex, but that it didn't work. She gave him a consolation BJ. She says,
which maybe been there, y'all. I've been there. Because sometimes you're gay and sometimes you had Taco Bell and you want to have butt sex and you weren't planning on having butt sex, and you can't have butt sex when you had a double-decker taco with extra sour cream, so you give a consolation blowjob.
Wow.
True. Go ahead, Poodle.
I'm sure it's so sexy when someone says, I can't have sex with you because I've had a triple-decker taco.
So you've never been in a situation where you realize you're about to fuck and you go, wait a minute, I had Indian food at lunch.
No, I have prepared. I've been thinking about this, and I take the necessary precautions.
What if you go out? Sometimes, though, it just happens. You go out on a night, and I'm going to go to Fiesta Cantina. Just have it. Did you always just take? Were you just one of those bottoms who was always taking a fiber pill and eating hard boiled eggs constantly?
No, but you have to. You would think about what you would eat. Or you wouldn't have sex. You wouldn't give him a blowjob because you're already full. You don't want like it hitting the back of your uvula and you like Ralph it on him.
We've gone down a road. We need to move on.
Sorry. But she says that maybe all these years later, he took some of my virginity and now he can take my celibacy. And she's like, the universe is telling me that, honey. Don't tell the universe what the universe is telling you. The universe is like, I got nothing to do with this.
I got nothing
don't
to do
look
with
at
this
me.
Girl. And she's got all these expectations on a party. And y'all, I'm going to tell you this from experience. When I had my very famous middle school parties in our backyard, don't have expectation because I always told myself in middle school, I'm going to have a girlfriend by the end of this party and have my first kiss. And it never happened.
I think there might have been underlying reasons why that didn't happen. Not that just your parties were lame, which I bet they were.
Don't have those eggs. Oh, my parties were famous.
Did you just play Whitney Houston?
Okay, so Stephanie, let's finish this up. they come over and Fred comes over. Poodle's not going to admit this, but in 2004, Poodle would have been all over Fred.
I will admit it, and it's sad. And I think you're right. Fred looks like a Hot Topic shift manager.
Yep.
Mated with a vape pen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
It's really bad. Yep. And you would have tried to blow him.
And he smells like old weed.
Yep.
And Old Spice.
Yep. Ugh. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So he's also got that quasi Bobcat Goldthwait kind of voice like this.
with this, it's like kind of New Jersey or New York act. Like his opens his mouth and he sounds like a guy who should be named Maury, who works in like a soup vendor or something. But it doesn't match his appearance.
So later on, you guys, they're talking, they're kind of flirty, and she's being the fakest flirtiness that. It's so funny. I really encourage everybody who hasn't read that Medium article. We should post it. Or maybe we can put it in the show notes.
We put it in our story.
That Medium article about the guy who dated. Yeah. But the guy who dated Stephanie, whose name was, God, I forgot his name now.
I think David.
But he went on the first date with Stephanie.
Yeah.
That in the park. And he said it was interesting to talk with her because you knew she was doing this for the show. You could kind of see it in her responses.
Well, he talked about her being a different person. He said that they were kind of like talking normal. And then as soon as the cameras turned on, it was like sexualized Stephanie. And
right.
Yeah.
And you guys, what does that tell you? It's almost like she thinks that's what she needs to be on camera. And also I want to talk about. She's sitting there with Fred and she's like, he's kind of saying things like blah, 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 blah. She's like, let's take a bath. She wants to make everything sexual. And because he's just said before that you gave me my first lap dance at 15. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about this before. At 15, her wanting to give him a lap dance, this, and I do not want to put it out there that it was sexual abuse or some kind of abuse, but everything is pointing to it. I'm just like, it's like a flashing light for me. This kind of overly sexualization is childhood. Don't you see that? It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. When he said that too at 15, I don't mean it as a judgment way. I just went, wow, that's like really young to be that brazen sexually.
Especially in the early 2000s, y'all. Especially in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Now, who knows?
Actually, I think she was 15 in like 2011. Remember?
Oh.
Remember, she's younger, Poodle. We're old. She's not our same age. She's only like fucking 25 or something like that.
She's 30 something.
I don't think she is. I Googled Stephanie from 90 Days and it says she's 52 and it's the wrong step. No. Stephanie
is 52 and that's no way Sip is 52. Ain't no way.
Yeah, she is 24 years old, Poodle, like 25.
Wow.
This is only 10 years ago. So this was in 2011. But still.
But we still think something went wrong, y'all. Because when she said, I want to take a bath with you, I went, stop the bus, in the words of Deontay's mother. Stop the bus.
It might not be sexual abuse, but we haven't heard or seen anything about Stephanie's father.
Yeah.
So there could be, she's very close to her mother, so there could be also just kind of like feeling unloved. Maybe her father was involved. I don't know. There's all these theories that we could go into, but regardless, the fact that she just saw him and it's been years and she just jumped into like, do you want to take a bath? That's such an intimate thing. And I get that you like baths, but I was totally, when she said that, I went, whoa.
Because think what a bath, you guys, first of all, you don't have clothes on. And I guess you're covered up by bubbles, so there's that. But at any moment, you're naked so close to each other in proximity.
And you're touching.
It is like a super intimate thing.
Like her taking a bath is what is, Stephanie's taking a bath is Poodle's let's make out in the car.
Yeah. And I personally think even for me, a bath is a little much. Like right there.
But I mean
I would say, okay, let's pump the brakes.
But no, but I'm saying like you're making out in the car. It's like you've known somebody a little bit. You don't know them that well, but you're like, hey, let's make out in the car. You're not going in their house. It's like kind of your first like foray into sluttiness.
Yeah, I know their name. I know their name.
I think that's a great I think that's a great step though. It's pretty harmless where a bath is like, whoa. We see next week they are in the bath. You're right. I don't think next week is the finale. I'm 100% wrong.
But every time we see an episode with her, I get so much more concerned for the problems she has. Like, and none of these are going to be, and we've said this before, none of these are going to be, either addressed on this season. And it's so hard to watch. Ugh.
I think with Stephanie, just as when I put on kind of my therapist hat with her, you know, if I had someone that came to me and said, hey, I've been celibate for a long time now, and I'm ready to break that celibacy, I would question and say, like, where does this desire come from? What leads you to believe that you need to break this? Because emotionally, she's not ready. Her emotions are telling her, hey, I'm not ready for this. I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't feel safe with this. So I would want to explore those, all those feelings, and then the physical can come after. But I'm afraid of, like, I would be afraid of telling of her having this idea of I just got to get it done and I just need to fuck someone. I feel like could be swallowing down emotions that are trying to come out that need to be felt. And that's what really it just like I have empathy. I know she gets on a lot of people's nerves. She doesn't get on my nerves. I actually kind of just want to like hug her and tell her it's okay to be you wherever you are, and you don't have to be anything for anyone else. Because I think that's a constant loop in her head.
I have empathy for her, but she infinitely frustrates me. Mostly because I also feel like this show is not done to show her dating experience. This show is for clout.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to be okay with that.
It is.
And to it's yeah. So that's kind of why I'm there. It's the whole, you know, I'm fine with her selling her farts. Do it. Do all you want. I don't care. But this her behavior on this date and her saying take a bath, let's take a bath, just freaks me out a lot more than selling farts,
which a lot of people suggested to me I should do after seeing me accidentally fart on Poodle on our Patreon. So thanks for that.
I'm so glad to be. Everyone has said how much they loved it. I'm glad we're that kind of show. It's I didn't think we were, but oh well.
Oh wait.
Y'all, and then I'm done. This show's over.
Well, we got to go because I think I just heard another gunshot. So, y'all, prayers for Poodle. Hashtag prayers
my
for
mother's
Poodle.
My mother's gonna feed the birds.
Oh
soon.
God, that is not gonna be like Mary Poppins. That's not all gonna right, be y'all. A beautiful moment. It's gonna be, come on, birds. Eat this food. Eat this food.
Muffin, get out of here. Stop it. Stop it.
All right, y'all. We know that there was maybe a little bit of a lag. I've tried to fix it as much as I can, but if there was a little bit of a lag in this episode, we apologize. Poodle's going to go to his brother's house to do the next show. So next time we'll just have his niece running in screaming.
I cannot promise anything with my niece and nephews. Hopefully.
All right, y'all. To our website, realitygaze.com. That's where you can see our Linktree link for our live shows and things like that. Our shows are still a go. We're being very aware and very concerned what's happening with Omicron. And no matter what, your safety is more important than a show for us. As of right now, everything is still on. And so you can get tickets for that. You can also go to our Instagram, Reality Gaze Podcast. If you have purchased tickets and you want information on what's going on with shows, that's going to be your first kind of line to get any type of news going on with us.
Yes. Like you just said, we're being, especially with Chicago and New York, them being so close out, we're monitoring all of that very closely. So stay tuned to our Insta or just listen to the podcast, or we're even putting it on our Patreon as well.
Yes. Now, we call these people lonely hearts because, Poodle, aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong bathtubs?
Yes. And if you have concerns about cockadoodle or crockpot or cockamamie stealing your girlfriend, call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.